We celebrate both the Palm and Passion Sunday this morning. Palm Sunday because we remember Jesus riding into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, not as a conquering hero leading armies, but as one who was born to the throne, who did not need armies to place him in his position of honor, who had earned that by right of birth. Son of God, King of the Jews, Lord of light, and all those names that we give him. But also we remember the pain, the suffering, the sacrifice that Jesus went through for us. For us. For you and me, for each of us. That we might have an opportunity to overcome that which we deserve. That judgment which we deserve, that pain and suffering and death which we deserve for being the sinful people that we are, that we might have the opportunity for life eternal. Praise God. Forgiveness, transformation, sanctification. And so we hear Paul saying to the church, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. The same mind. How can we know what was in Christ Jesus' mind? Here is the anointed Son of God, the one who was anointed to become king and will in time return to rule the world. The one who was anointed also to be the sacrifice for our sins. As that Passover sacrifice was made in order to protect the firstborn of the families of the Jews in Egypt, so God makes this sacrifice to protect all of us as His firstborn children. As His Son Jesus is His firstborn. We have this wondrous offer. But how do we get there? Had someone say that to me in my work with folks who were struggling with addiction. You tell me what I need to do, how I need to change, what I need to be like, but you don't tell me how to get there. I know I need to stop doing what I've been doing, but how do I start doing and being this new person that doesn't do those bad things? We take on the mind of Christ. Amen. The mind of Christ that Paul says, even though he was equal with God, Son of God, inheritor of the crown of the nation, yet was willing to make himself a servant to the people. Do we do that? Do we take the wondrous gifts that he has given us and turn around and use them to serve others? Or do we just serve ourselves? We serve in different ways. We reach out at different times. Saw Bubba and Don out here serving the church yesterday with power tools and sweat, doing something to make something better for others. We reach out to people who are in need. We talk about our tithes and offerings go to do God's will. We seek to be a city on a hill, a light of enlightenment, of hope to those who struggle and are in need. Or do we hold on to what we have? Worry about what we might lose? Struggle to keep from being able, having to give up anything because we're afraid we'll have to give up more than we want? Are we willing to take on the mind of Christ? To serve others first rather than ourselves first? Or do we seek to secure our own first and then share what's left over? We are asked to make a huge sacrifice. To sacrifice our minds. To sacrifice our self. To sacrifice our selfishness. To sacrifice our self-centeredness and become Christ-centered, God-centered, service-centered. And it's hard. When you have gotten caught up in something that has taken over your life, like drugs do for some, it's easy when you get clean and sober to know that this is not a good thing to do. It's easy to understand what's eating up your life. It's easy to know that if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting punished for it. You're going to keep going to jail. You're going to keep losing those things that you value. You're going to keep alienating the people that you care about. You're going to destroy your life. But without the mind of Christ, without the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can't control that. When we're addicted to anger, when we're, somebody used the term, rageaholics, when we click on things and lose control, we can't control that without the mind and love of Christ in our lives, because we by ourselves are not strong enough to overcome that addiction to anger. And there's all kinds of other things. We call them sins. Things that take over our lives, things that control us, things that take us away from God, things that separate us from love, things that separate us from that mind of Christ that would allow us to become something more holy, more divine, less earthly, less petty, less selfish, less ourselves. Given only ourselves, we aren't going to make it. Given only our own resources, we always fail. The Bible says we should confess our sins. We want to confess that, yeah, I'm a sinner, but when it comes down to saying what it is that we've done, we have a real hard time saying what my sin is. I wasn't feeling very Christian yesterday. I was planning on having a nice quiet morning on my carport and doing my puzzle and reading my paper and calling my friends, and the next thing I know, I hear, my peace and quiet was shattered by someone else's sacrifice. And I appreciate the fact that they were doing that work and giving it to the church. I was being selfish. I was feeling like, I should have had my quiet morning here. Feeling sorry for myself. Feeling irritated. I was being human. Golly. How about that? We all do that. We don't want to give up what we have. We don't want to have to do without what we want. We don't want to go where we don't want to go or deal with what we don't want to deal with or be with who we don't want to be with. But all we do is do what we want to do. We will find ourselves doing the wrong thing for the wrong reason, going the wrong place. And I know some of you are getting to that point where it won't be long before we have to face our judge and king. It won't be long before we have to answer for ourselves. It won't be long before we have to step up. Are we able to say that we have the mind of Christ? Are we able to say that we tried? Are we able to say that we were willing? Are we able to say that we wanted to be like that Son of God who had access to all power, armies of angels, the ability to transform the world, and yet He chose not to ride into Jerusalem at the head of an army on a chariot with His weapons drawn, His flags flying, His sabers rattling, His swords flashing, prepared for battle to take Jerusalem by storm, but rather on the back of a donkey. As someone who did not need armies to take the throne, someone who did not need anything but the love of others, the recognition of others. Do we make Him Lord of our life? Do we let Him fill the throne in our heart? Do we open ourselves up to Him? I couldn't do it. In my life, as long as I was trying to run the show, I couldn't do it. It was only when I felt my life was over, done, ready to be ended, that I finally gave up and gave Him a place. And everything changed. Amen. It's frustrating to know that we need to do better, to know that we need to do different, to know that we need something in our lives, that something is missing, that there's a hole in our heart, that there's a hunger in our soul, that there's an emptiness in our lives, and we can't find anything to fill it. A friend of a family member had posted on Facebook, "Why is it so hard? Why is life so hard? Why is it so tough to make it through the world today?" A young person struggling with the world as it is today, trying to understand who they are and where they need to go. And I emailed back, "Life is a test. Life is a test. We're challenged to see what we're made of. We're challenged to see whether we're worthy. We're challenged to see whether we're up to the task or not. We're challenged to find what's important to us, what matters to us, how we can live, how we can be, how will we be, how do we live?" Well, here's the answer. To serve. What do you find that passionately engages you? What do you find that you really care about? What do you find that really makes a difference to you? Had a guy in a program who was struggling to go back to work because he had had an injury and he was a carpenter. And he was going to have a reconstructive surgery on his shoulder to go back to pounding nails. And I said, "Well, why do you have to do that?" He says, "It's the only thing I know. It's the only thing I've ever done." But he didn't sound like he was real enthused about going back to work as a carpenter. And so I said, "Well, what do you love?" He said, "I love playing with my kids." I said, "Do you just love playing with your kids, or do you like kids? I mean, I'd rather deal with 60 convicted felons than have a bunch of little three-year-olds running around screaming. It's like nails going through my head when they hit that high C above C." That's just me. I said, "Do you love kids?" And he says, "Yeah, I like kids. I like all kids. All the kids in the neighborhood used to end up at our house. And I loved it." And I said, "Well, what else can you do where you get to do what you love?" He ended up running a bowling alley. And he loved it. He liked fixing the machines. He liked dealing with people. But most of all, he loved it when 100 kids came in to fill up all the lanes and bowl. That'd drive me nuts. I'd go crazy. But he loved it. He had found his passion He had found something he loved to do, and he was doing it. God so loved the world that he gave his Son that we might have life. But we have to accept that gift into our hearts. We have to take on that mind of Christ. We have to be willing to become servants like he was a servant. We have to be willing to give up what we think we're supposed to do and start doing what's really in our hearts. I don't know what's in your heart. I don't know what you're called to. I don't know where you're supposed to be going. But I know that as long as we let other people expectations guide us, we won't end up where we need to go. We'll end up where they think we should go. As long as we aren't listening to that voice within our hearts, that love that transcends understanding, that peace that is overwhelming, that awe that we have to think of the mind of God, we'll end up doing those mundane things that leave us going, what's the point? Why bother? Why live? We wonder how teenagers who have their whole lives before them can commit suicide. Well, that's it. They look to the future and they see bleakness, emptiness, pain, suffering, sorrow, horror at the lives that they have before them. And they can't do it. How sad is that? How much pain is that? Do people look at us like that man in the psalm with horror? Do they look at us with fear? Oh, I don't want to be like her. I don't want to be like him. I don't want to do that. Gosh, what a terrible existence that must be. Better off dead. Or do they look at us as somebody that they want to be like? They want to act like. They want to know what it is that we have that they're missing. When was the last time someone came to you and said, how do you do that? How do you get there? How do you go there? How can I get there? Do people see in us victory or defeat? Joy or agony, peace or frustration, Christ or emptiness. I want to be someone that people will see Christ in me. I want to be someone where people will see victory in me. I want to be someone where people will at least occasionally see a flash of something that they say, that person has something that I want, that I need, that I seek in my life. I don't get it right all the time. Sometimes I get real irritated with that weed whacker. But I try to let Christ live in me, to let Christ shine through me, to let Christ be in me so that people can see Him in me and say, I want what you got. Not your house, not your car, but your peace, your joy, your life. Amen.
Amen.
The mind of Christ.